Our story is in the fantastic city of Sura in the land of Babel. And hundreds of years ago, there were many Jews that lived in Sura. And there was a great yeshiva there. The head of that yeshiva was known as Rav. His real name was Abba. But his name was, they knew him as Rav, just like they called Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Rebbe. They called Rav, his disciple, who was the teacher of all the Jews of Babylon, they called him Rav. Rav was a nephew of Rav Chiya's. Rav Chiya was a disciple of Rebbe, as was Rav. Rav was that generation that was the crossover between the period of Tanoim and Amoraim. So Rav, on the one hand, is an Amora. He's from the period of the Talmud. On the other hand, he learned under Rebbe. He got his smicha from Rebbe. When he went to Babylon, so his uncle Rav Chiya said to Rebbe, give him smicha, you know, he's going to Babylon, he's going to have to give halachic ruling there. Rav's father, his name was Avo. And his mother, his father and mother shared a brother. Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya's father, in his second marriage, he married a woman who had a child from her first marriage. So in both of their second marriage, they had Rav Chiya, Rav's uncle. And in the first marriage of the woman, she had Rav's mother. And in the first marriage of the man, she had Rav's father. So Rav's father and mother shared a sibling. They were not siblings. They each came from a prior marriage. So Rav had a mother who shared a father with Rav Chiya, he had an uncle who shared a mother with Rav Chiya, and his mother shared a father with Rav. You want me to draw it? Now that would make it easier. Do we have markers? Here we go. Okay, so we have Avo and Ima, Rav's parents. Rav, his father was Avo, and his mother Ima. Together, they had him. Now, we have father of Avo from first marriage, and father gets married in second marriage to a woman from who she has Rav Chiya. This woman from her first marriage had Ima. So Rav Chiya was a half-brother with Ima and a half-brother with Avo. And Avo and Ima got married because there were no relations. Avo's father married Ima's mother and they had a son named Rav Chiya. But technically they shared no parents. Their parents got married. They were step-siblings. Avo's father remarried in his second marriage Ima's mother. You guys got that?
Sorry, this sounds like the Dukes of Hazzard.
Hold on, so wait.
And Rav Chiya was Rav's uncle from his father and his mother.
So wait, you got the lines backwards maybe then? Because he needs to be connected to the two on the side, no?
Rav Chiya came from... Okay?
Wait, did you just say he came from these two, though? Avo and...
Rav came from Avo and Ima. Okay. Rav Chiya was a half-brother of Avo and a half-brother of Ima.
And there's two Imas.
No, it is the same Ima. I am just showing you where she came from.
Okay.
Ima equals Ima.
Okay.
You guys got it?
Everyone's relative. I'm more confused.
Yeah, but none of them are bastards. They're all kosher marriages.
Isn't Torah say not your mother's daughter or your father's daughter?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or your father's.
So it doesn't tie like
it. It's none of those. Slowly. Avo's father married her. Abel didn't marry her. Abel married her daughter from her first marriage. That's permissible.
That's no relation.
There's no relation.
So stepmother's daughter is full on.
Stepmother's daughter. That's what he did. He married his step. It's not even a half sister. They might call it a half sister, but he married. Avo married his stepmother's daughter from her first marriage. No family relation. The only relation is that his mother married her. His father married her mother. At any rate, that is Rav. Rav was a descendant of Avo and Ima. His parents had this funny relationship. And it even makes sense. They grew up together. They weren't siblings.
But if you're, then you...
Their parents got married, but they weren't siblings.
So you could, as a son, you could marry this girl who is the daughter of your father's new wife.
Rabbi Chiyo could. Right.
They live in one house together. It's strange.
Right, it is strange, but it's still permissible. So, Rav, the great Rav, they have a child, the great Rav. And there was a court in the city of Sura, and Rav was the head of the court. Now, Rav would judge anyone who came to him, anyone who needed his services. And in that city, there was another great rabbi named Rabba Bar Chana. And one day, Rabba Bar Chana wanted to transport a barrel of wine from the wine press to his home. So he went out to hire two workers, two burly men, to carry his barrel of wine from the wine press to his home. And they agree on a price, and he says, be careful, because the barrel is an earthenware barrel, and if you drop it, it'll break. These two burly men look at the barrel, and they say, no problem, we'll bring it. We're used to carrying delicate things. So they took a strong pole of wood and tied the barrel to it and heaved and hoed, and each one lifted and they carried it. And as they're traveling and they're walking and they're carrying this heavy barrel, they got tired. And suddenly one of them stumbled on a rock. And when he stumbled on the rock, so the stick he was carrying on his shoulder slipped off his shoulder. And down went the barrel. And bash went the barrel. So now this earthenware barrel bashed on the floor, and all that precious wine is spilled on the floor and gets soaked into the dirt. Finished. So these two men stand there looking at the barrel, looking at the wine, and they don't know what to do. So they're all embarrassed and upset. They go to Rabba Bar Chana's house and they tell him what happened. And Rabba Bar Chana says to them, you guys weren't careful enough. If you really were so careful, like you say, and it was something that wasn't your fault, you should have brought witnesses. You were in the public domain. There were plenty of people around who obviously saw what happened. Why didn't you bring me witnesses to testify that you guys weren't negligent with my barrel? You guys have to pay me for that barrel. Now, the men say, we didn't think to bring witnesses, and we don't have money. We're simple workers. Where would we have money to pay for a barrel of wine? And Rabba said, well, that was very precious wine that you were carrying. And if you don't have money, so then give me your clothing. And so Rabba Bar Chana took their coats and sent them off. So they didn't know what to do. So the men went to Rav's courthouse. And they figured, let's try. They came to Rav, And Rav summoned Rabbi Bar Chana, and he started listening to the story. He heard their version, he heard his version. And after he's listened closely to what each side has to say, he turns to Rabbi Bar Chana and says, "Give them back their coats." So Rabbi Bar Chana asks Rav, "Is that the halacha? Do I have to forgo what they owe me? They caused me such harm. They have no witnesses that they were negligent." And Rav told him a fantastic line. Rav said to him, "You're right. Technically, you could sue them and force them to pay. But you're a Ben Torah. You're a Chacham. And you have to go beyond the call of duty. You see, they can't afford to pay you. If you take their coats, what are they going to wear when it's cold? Doesn't it say, Leman telech bederech tovim, that the Torah is to teach you to go in a good path, to go beyond the call of duty?" So Rav says to Rabbi Bar Chana, "Give him their coats." So the rabbi said, "What's he going to do?" Rabbi Bar Chana gives them back their coats. You think the story's over, but no. The men are still standing in the courthouse, and Rav asks them, "Gentlemen, I told them to give you back your coats. He gave you back your coats. Why are you guys still standing here?" So the men, with their heads down, they said, "You know, we're poor. We worked all day carrying that barrel, and we were hoping to have a little bit of money to buy food for our kids. You know, we're hungry, and we don't have anything to feed our kids with." So Rav turns to Rabbi Bar Chana and says, "Pay them their wages." So Rabbi Bar Chana says, "Is that the halacha? Isn't it enough that I forewent all the money they owe me for the harm they caused me? I gave them back their coats. I still have to pay them for carrying my barrel? They didn't help me. What am I paying them for? They harmed me." And Rav said, "Oh, you're right. The halacha, you don't have to pay them. That's the letter of the law. But the halacha is that you have to pay them. So they harmed you. But does that mean they're not human beings? You don't have an obligation to be merciful to God's creatures? These poor people worked all day. They're hungry. Their children are hungry. Are you going to send them home without a penny? It says, 'Ochot tzadikim tishmo.' That pasuk says, that very pasuk I quoted you earlier says, not only go beyond the call of duty, but the way of the righteous is to have compassion over God's creatures. So, yeah, make sure they have food when they go home." And so Rabba pulled out his wallet and paid them as though they had done their work so that they could go home and have food for their families. So the Gemara in Baba Metzia quotes this story. And the Gemara in Baba Metzia words it that the worker said, that Rabbi Bar Chana said to Rav, "Dina hachi? Is that the halacha?" And then Rav answered him, "In, yes, lifnim mishur sadin, go beyond the call of duty." So you ask yourself, wait a second, he asked you, "Is that the halacha?" What are you answering him? Yes, you have to go beyond the halacha. Either it is the halacha or it isn't the halacha. What are you saying? You're saying it is because you have to go beyond the call of duty. Well, I just asked you, is that what I have to do? So Rav Pesin Zatzal used to say about this Gemara that depending on a person's level will decide whether a person is obligated to go beyond the call of duty. What Rav was saying to Rabbi Bar Chana is, "You're a Talmid Chacham. You don't have the right to say, well, this is the law, and I don't have to go beyond that. You have to go beyond the letter of the law. For you, that is the halacha. Dinahi, that is your psak din. Because on your level, you have to go lifnim mishuat adin. You have to go beyond the call of duty, and Rav obligated him to pay. Rav didn't just say, you know, you should be a nice guy, you should give him something. Rav obligated him to pay because Rav held that was his obligation.